What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, May 7th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside at Tim Geddes.
May the 7th be with you.
May the 7th be with you.
And also with you.
And also with you. How much church you go to growing up?
How much church?
Yeah, you ever go to any church?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'd say maybe like 5 times.
5 times? All funerals?
Maybe 10 times. I don't know. More with the funerals, but just like random church shit.
Okay.
I had to do it with Kevin a bunch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kevin just wanted to go. Mom made him.
I don't know. I don't even remember the situations. Okay. It was weird. Didn't want to be there.
Okay.
Didn't like it. Didn't enjoy it. Didn't get it.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry about that.
Yeah.
First things first, I want to give a shout out to Rich in Japan. That's a Twitter handle who sent me this lovely card that sat at the P.O. box for months and months and months. And inside was this Dry Bones hoodie from the Nintendo store in New York. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much. I am wearing it. Weirdly enough, the XLs in New York apparently are not American XLs because this mother. I am 2 pounds of sausage in a 1 pound casing here. All right, I am not looking good here.
Oh, okay,
so that's why I'm wearing the jacket over it. But I want to. I looked fine. Here's the thing. Standing up, everybody. I think I can pull it off.
Yeah.
Standing up, it looks fine.
Yeah.
But I think when I sit down. It just does not give the vibes I like to look like on camera. Am I wrong?
I think you're fine.
Does it look fine? Kevin, what do you think? I need your
like
advice.
Dress shirts normally look.
It's a little tight.
Well, it's super tight, yeah.
I think the
dress shirt, the coloring makes it better, but I think the dress shirts have a little bit more structure, so I'd say there's a bit of a difference in my opinion there.
Wait, you're saying I look like this in dress shirts?
No, I'm saying the dress shirts are nicer looking because they're more.
Well, I think it's my XL t-shirts in general, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Don't show off these lumps. These lovely Miller lumps. Check it out. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screwed up as we screwed it up. So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify, including iHeartRadio. The Stitcher problem, I believe,
there was
got
a Stitcher
fixed
problem,
where we
a
all popped up finally.
Problem. I don't know what's going on. It's not us. It's podcasts in general.
Just do the old fat guy stretch on it. You know what I mean? You gotta fight it.
You look like Venom.
I know. Thank you. That when I do a fat guy stretch, especially on a really tight shirt, it is like I'm in the symbiote. It's like trying to take me over.
It's like kill Aunt May. We are Venom.
I'm like, no. How's that Venom movie gonna be?
Not good.
Fuck you guys. Give it a shot. I want to be excited.
I want to be too.
God. Housekeeping for you. If you beat God of War over the weekend, remember the God of War spoiler cast is up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It's on podcast services as well under the Kind of Funny Games cast banner. Many people have said it's some of our best work. We agree. Please, as you beat God of War throughout the next 6 months, remember, we have a show about it. We'd love it if you went and watched it. Corey Barlog is on it, in which he tells you everything. Also, today, we're brought to you by patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 3 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Now, Kevin, on Friday, you were at a wedding. Everything went fine, right? Nobody objected. Everybody got married.
Yes.
Nobody objected.
Nick, however, let me be on the morning show for the first time in I feel like 3 months.
Well, whose fault is that? You're a busy boy.
I mean, whose fault is that?
And I think you were on 2 weeks ago when you had way too many things. And sure enough, by the end of the day, you were a cranky, salty boy.
No, I came together by the end of the day. It's in the morning when it's real bad. It's in the mornings when it's real bad.
Don't correct me.
I've seen Crank.
Have you seen Crank 2? They're giant, weird,
actually,
they're giant fries.
You haven't seen Crank 2?
You
love
it. This is definitely a Tim Geddes ass movie.
Oh, definitely. What was your question?
When is Kind of Funny Games Daily, the premiere show, getting the cool transitions and stuff? Where I go, it's time for the Roper Report, and then we have something polished. Because Nick's got housekeeping now. That's great. You're doing great. I love that a lot. I'm glad we have a name bar. I'm just saying.
There's
part of the charm. You know, I mean, we did Beyond Forever, and we never had any graphics or anything. Now, granted, it wasn't video for the longest time. I just started doing the Roper Report jingle. Jeff was there. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it is.
I don't know. It's just as soon as you demand it from the people. AJ Meadows from Twitter seems to be making a lot of stuff. He kind of stopped making things, though.
Well, he probably wants to be paid.
It's a great call. Great call on his end.
Oh, yeah, totally. Hey, I've given you these first things for free. Sure. Now you want the drug, come here. And we're like, haha, no, we'll make a much worse show. We don't care.
Now, Kev, not to go on too long about this. I love what you just did. Can you do me a favor and can you make the thing green, the daily green, and then use the font from Kind of Funny Games Daily? That'd be awesome.
I don't know what any of that. You want to make the
daily. All right, we'll deal with that one off the air. Number one on the Roper Report. This is a big one, Tim. Thanos from Avengers Infinity War and comic books nationwide is coming to Fortnite. Like, I was waiting for the laugh on that one. Nick Romano at EW reports. This Tuesday, Thanos will join Fortnite Battle Royale. Here's the article. The quote, Infinity Gauntlet limited time mashup mode for Battle Royale will feel just like a standard slugfest, with one major difference. 100 players will descend upon the map and fight until one player is left standing as usual. But this time you'll do so with the Infinity Gauntlet in play. The artifact containing all 6 Infinity Stones, the same one Thanos used to cripple Earth's mightiest heroes on the big screen, will appear on the map. Whomsoever finds it and equips it will transform into Thanos himself, wielding all the power that comes with him. As it turns out, I'm jumping around the article now because they start explaining Fortnite like you need it explained. As it turns out, Avengers Infinity War co-directors Joe and Anthony Russo, just like rapper Drake and the millions of other players worldwide, are massive Fortnite fans. Quote, over the past few months while we were editing Infinity War, we take breaks to hop on and get a few games in, Joe exclusively told EW. And then we started thinking, how cool would it be to have some kind of Avengers Fortnite mashup? So we talked to Donald. That would be Donald Mustard, friend of the show. The worldwide creative director of Epic Games, who says, quote, out of the blue, I get this call from Joe, and after a bit of geeking out over each other's work, we start brainstorming these crazy ideas. It was really important that whatever we did, it had to be super authentic to both Fortnite and the Avengers Infinity War, and something that fans of both would be excited about. About an hour later, we had the bones of this awesome idea for a limited time gameplay mode, and almost immediately, our team got started. That comes out tomorrow. That is awesome.
That sounds super freaking cool. Now, I have a question.
Lay it on me, Tim.
With this type of mode and with what they're doing here, it'd be really cool if when you get it, half the remaining players die.
You snap your fingers.
That'd be fucking awesome.
That'd
but
be
I don't think they're doing that. I think you just get superpower. But that's how they should do it. For a Battle Royale game, that's a cool twist on that.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds as if it's going to be a standalone mode, right? The way they call it the Infinity Gauntlet limited time mashup. I feel like there'll be standard battle. It'll be Save the World, obviously, standard Battle Royale, and then this Infinity Gauntlet Battle Royale side.
Very cool.
I'm going to be playing it.
That sounds awesome.
I enjoy Fortnite. Here's something I want you to know. As you know, Tim, I walked in one day, ripped the cable box out of the wall, and threw it in the street. I'm done with cable. Don't do it anymore. But what that means is sometimes I just want to eat something. I don't want to put on a Netflix show. I don't want to put on a movie. What I've been doing, stick with me, is I've been turning on Twitch, and I'll put it on the Fortnite people. And I'll just watch some Fortnite while I eat my foods.
Oh, got it.
I need something quicker that I can get in and out of.
Got it.
That I don't care about the ending of.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been watching more Fortnite. I still can't build for the
nothing. Builder.
I can't build for nothing, as they say.
Bob the Builder.
No, I'm not there. Are you gonna jump in and play this?
No, I'm not.
Kevin, are you gonna jump in and play with me tomorrow? This is your official invite, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm down.
Thank you, Kevin.
Wait.
Hello, Kind of Funny Games Daily viewers and/or listeners on podcast services around the globe. We had a hiccup live where our recording software turned us all into robots. So we're going to pick up with the question about Fortnite and I guess still talk about it. We had a great conversation about it. So we're going to try to hash that out again. So give me the same amount of energy you gave me before, Tim.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Think about it. Audio listeners, you'll now get it hopefully without, or Twitch people get it without the robots. Jack Walkley wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and said, OMG, Marvel is crossing over with Fortnite Battle Royale. Did you see the tweet? We did, Jack. This has to be one of the coolest and most relevant video game to current culture crossovers we have ever seen. What Marvel character do you want to be a skin in Fortnite? I think Spidey is the obvious answer, but that's what I want. Thoughts? Who do you want?
I feel like anybody that is like human, humanoid.
Right.
Like, so not like big Hulk shit, but like just normal versus Black Widow, Spider-Man.
Yeah, I jumped to Iron Man immediately because I think Iron Man would just look cool.
Yeah.
But then you brought up, I thought the two female protagonists, great idea because, of course, there are girl and guy skins.
Yeah.
In there, which also means we get Spider-Gwen. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, and there's Spider-Gwen. A whole bunch of them.
Now,
the majority of the Marvel heroes, I would say.
But here's
Hawkeye.
Here's my thing that I talked about before a second ago. I am still surprised in a way and impressed that Marvel Games is doing this because I felt like when Disney was like, all right, cool, we're bringing it, we're doing Marvel Games, you guys are in charge, you're making the brand. So far, that's really been about, hey, come over and play Strike Force. Hey, we have Avengers stuff in Puzzle Quest. Hey, like, we're keeping it in-house. Let's talk about Spider-Man PS4. This being a crossover here, and not only a crossover of, hey, it's Infinity War content in Fortnite, it being it's a brand new mode for, you know, all intents and purposes.
I think that's the biggest deal here, is that it's not just skins and stuff. It's an actual, honest-to-goodness game mode in a game that doesn't really have too many modes.
Yeah, exactly. That's the biggest thing. So I would say then, that's impressive. Are you surprised that Marvel Games is playing nice and doing this?
I'm not surprised. I think it makes a lot of sense because, you know, we've seen it before with a lot of their mobile games, whether it's Disney Emoji Blitz or even things like Zen Pinball, where there's licensing situations going on forever with Marvel characters, Disney properties, whatever it is. And I feel like this makes a lot of sense. Fortnite's a huge deal. We were talking earlier about a Rocket League type situation where the success of Rocket League, a lot of it has to do with all of the cool partnerships that they've had and just continue to have. I was watching a movie this weekend in the theater and like the little pre-trailer situation with Maria Menounos. Shout out to her.
Again, if it got garbled. I want to make it very clear on the record that we will do that pre-show entertainment for 1/16th the price of whatever Maria Menounos charges.
I want to meet her too, though. That needs to be part of the deal.
When you replace somebody, you usually don't meet them. That's usually bad blood.
I want a passing of the torch from Maria Menounos.
I just like I feel like in the old days, they used to really try. And now, literally, she's on green. Her hair's got flyaways. Yeah. She's just like, hey, all right, cool. TNT Newbie. Told you about whatever the fuck this thing was.
Do some stuff. It'll
exactly.
Anyways, there was a Rocket League trailer that played, and it really focused on Batman and Back to the Future and all those different things. And I think that that's a smart call because, you know, the general population who's going to movies might not necessarily be gamers in the traditional sense. And they see that, they're like, oh, this is cool. And it's available now literally on everything.
Yeah.
So, and with Fortnite, it's like there's such a movement right now.
Well, and not only that, but with Avengers, right? This is such a juggernaut, colossal crossover in the way that Fortnite is the biggest thing going in terms of games. It is. I was talking to friends about this, I guess, that... you know, it's gotten to the point that, my aunt and uncle were texting me about Fortnite because they saw that New York Times article, and it was just like, oh, wow, it is breaking through to the mainstream in a way even I don't think PUBG was necessarily. Yeah. Like, this is everywhere, the way it's taken over kids, the way it's taken over mobile, everything else. And then, of course, Avengers right now, you can't get away from any GIF, meme, whatever, news. Somebody wanted to talk about Infinity War, right? Mm-hmm. Like, with the downtime, I looked at my phone, and I've got a friend text me. He's like, all right, you've seen it twice, so I have a question about it. You know what I mean? Like, all in. My question then becomes this, Tim. I already want to change it from what I initially gave you. Is this the... line in the sand, is this the standard, do you think, for Fortnite crossovers of cool? Before I was talking to you about, like, man, do you think that is it possible we'll see on Xbox stage it's Fortnite and here's your Master Chief skin, over on PlayStation here's your Nathan Drake skin, maybe they play just across the field and it's like, hey, we're excited about Shadow of the Tomb Raider, here's your Lara Croft skin. But all of that said, do you think the fact that it is Fortnite, the biggest game running, partnering with the biggest movie running right now, does that set the bar for what it really is? And it won't be like Rocket League. It won't be like Little Big Planet, where it won't be like, yeah, we want everyone to come. It's like, we want to be the biggest things going.
I imagine they want everything. Like, why wouldn't they? Right? It doesn't, like, this, especially when it comes to skins, there's nothing but pros to Epic.
Yeah.
Right? That's only marketing to a different group of people. It doesn't ruin the game at all, and also makes them a lot more money. So there's not really any downsides to that. The downsides could come if it starts getting gimmicky, like they have this Thanos game mode that makes a lot of sense, but I don't think a lot of other things would get dedicated game modes. I do think this is kind of testing the water of that, seeing the interest levels. I mean, if they can make cool, unique game modes that make sense for different properties and people like them, and you can create that, like, not that people aren't playing the shit out of this game every day and streaming it every day, like, reasons for people like you to come in every month for some new thing, that would be like the greatest thing going.
For Fortnite, I wobble, where I feel like I'm the domino waiting to fall. It could easily be a Friday the 13th situation like last year, where it's like something happens to get me to really like, oh, okay, like tomorrow.
What if they partner with Jason?
Or if they partner with Jason.
Derulo.
Jason Derulo. Jason, I don't understand. But no. Tomorrow, I'm definitely jumping in to play this, and I imagine a lot of people will be jumping in to play it. Not to mention, they say it's a limited time mashup. I wonder how limited that time is going to be, but I would imagine you're going to see it really get going, especially when they see their favorite streamers happening, and if it is cool when you become Thanos. Like, what does it really mean? Like, you know, we joked around about the snap, but is it that, are you going to be able to switch between stones? Are you going to be able to rewind time? Like, probably not, but...
It's probably, like... In the lamest version of it, you're just super powerful and like
you can blast people.
Like stats are opt or whatever. Then the best way, I think it'd be fucking cool. And I don't know if we're repeating ourselves, so sorry.
Deal with it, guys. It.
But like, I feel like with this type of game, like a numbers based game of how many people are there would be the whole point of the mode. Having half the people die, that's super cool at random. I love that. I hope they do that.
You've been killed by Thanos. Yeah. You've been slain by Thanos for the good of the universe.
Man. Fucking cool.
I'm really excited to see it tomorrow. I will never ever get the gauntlet, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Maybe I could. I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I
random.
Could. It, I don't know. I'm into
perfectly
this.
Balanced.
I'm into this idea. I like all the things you're doing. A lot of callbacks to the movies. I like what you're doing there. Number two on the Roper Report. They're hiring for a new Zelda.
Let's fucking go, boys. Or something Zelda related.
This is Brian Ashcraft over at Kotaku, who writes, Nintendo has a level designer job listing for working on the Legend of Zelda series. The gig is at the company's Kyoto headquarters. The job entails working on dungeons, the field or map, cutscenes, as well as designing enemies. Nintendo is looking for those with experience as game planners. The listing is in Japanese and states that confidence in one's Japanese ability is necessary due to the group work nature of the position. Parentheses, note, the application form is geared towards people already living in Japan. Mm. Brian's article goes on to give you way more details and salary and all that jazz if you're actually interested in it. But, Tim, I'm interested in what's going on in your noggin about
As
it.
Am I.
In fact, so is Tyler Cabs, who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Tyler says, Reed and Greg, high energy voice. Tim Gatorade hype moment Gettys. Kotaku listed an article today stating that Nintendo is looking for a new employee for level design on the Legend of Zelda series. I think it's a safe assumption that they are working on some new type of Zelda project. What type of Zelda game do you think it will be? An expansion to Breath of the Wild? A new top-down for Switch? Maybe a mobile version with Nintendo's new president doubling down on mobile. I am curious what you think it will be and if they will talk about it at E3. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Tyler!
I think all of those are possible. All of those will happen at some point. What is this a position for? That's a more interesting question to me. Will we see this at E3? Absolutely not. The only chance of us seeing Zelda at E3, I think, would be a 3DS remake of Link's Awakening. I'm still holding on to that.
3DS?
Yeah, that just makes sense, man. Me and Jared Petty were talking about it recently. They're going to keep supporting that motherfucker.
I know they are. But they said that publicly, I think. They would be 2019 and beyond.
Yeah.
No, thank you. But yeah, I got that part.
I feel like that's unlikely because of the recent announcement that it was Grezzo that's working on Luigi's Mansion on the 3DS.
Who's Grezzo?
The team that did the Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask 3DS ports, and I think Star Fox 64 3DS as well.
Okay.
Anyway, that's kind of their, yeah, let us know. But they're the team that does this, and they're really good at it. But if they're working on Luigi's Mansion, I doubt that they're also working on a Link's Awakening at this time.
Okay. So hold on then. You think it's as an expansion to Breath of the Wild.
So
I think we're getting another expansion to Breath of the Wild.
I think that we're going to get a Majora's Mask-esque Breath of the Wild.
But that's not an expansion, right? I think expansion would imply it's DLC 3 or whatever.
No. We're not getting that. I'm just clarifying. I think that what he's talking about is a Majora's Mask. Yeah, using the same engine, using the same assets and world, kind of. You know, I don't think that we're just going to get Breath of the Wild 2.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
But I do think that like maybe like twist it up somehow for that type of thing. I don't think it'll be as drastically different as Majora's Mask because games are just way bigger nowadays. Sure. But yeah, I think that's inevitably going to happen. And I imagine that this job is for that. But we're going to get another top-down Zelda game and it's going to be on Switch.
Yeah.
I just don't think the time is now.
Okay.
I think that's a next year project, maybe the year after
that. How far before we get the Zelda Mobile?
Zelda Mobile, I don't know. I mean, we have Mario Kart coming. We know that. There was the new RPG they just talked about. I forgot what it was called, like Dragon Eyes or something.
That's a weird name, yeah.
Yeah. So we know those are coming. Mario Kart is, I wonder when we'll hear about that. I imagine it won't be at E3.
I think that'll be
its own separate thing. But yeah, I don't know. Zelda Mobile, it has to be happening, right? At some point. Like
does it? I don't know.
Definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're making money off these things.
Man. Sure. I'm not saying that. I just don't know if Zelda, with all due respect to Zelda, is... Well, here, let's do it this way. The reason I would argue no to Zelda Mobile is the fact that I don't know if that's going to appeal to a mainstream broad audience. Mm-hmm. Because as we've talked about...
Fire Emblem.
Let's stop for... Okay. Well, let's stop for 1 second, though. But remember how we talked about people thought up until Breath of the Wild, and because I'm leaving those stats off the table, that Zelda was like this giant juggernaut of a franchise, when in reality it sold well, but not like amazingly, right? It's not doing Mario numbers before Breath of the Wild. Do you think that's changed since Breath of the Wild, that now there's an even more beloved, it's a, let's double down and do all the Zelda stuff?
I mean, just looking at the facts and looking at the numbers.
Give me the facts.
The Nintendo Switch is totally changing Nintendo's landscape when it comes to their franchises. Time after time after time, there so far, their the games are being the top selling in their franchise or on their way to be. Kirby coming out like last month or whatever. Isn't the number one Kirby game, but it is on track to be eventually. Splatoon 2 destroyed sales of Splatoon 1. Not that that's that big of a surprise, but it did. Zelda, the number one one. Metroid, we can assume, will be the best-selling Metroid game when it comes out. And then you even look at things like the Musou games that they did, Hyrule Warriors and Fire Emblem Warriors. They're like the best-selling Musou games in forever. So it's like, you look at that, and it's like, there's a power to the Switch, there's a power to these characters and IP, and you move that shit over to mobile, why not, right?
I guess
like, if they did it for Fire Emblem Heroes, make it work so that people do really love what they're doing, I think it'd make a lot of sense.
Oh, and that's the thing is, I guess, look at Animal Crossing 2, where Animal Crossing brought so many Animal Crossing fans out of the woodwork that maybe had lapsed on it, but now have this device and have it and want to try it. I guess it's the same way where, sure, maybe not every Zelda game sells juggernaut numbers, but how many Triforce tattoos do you see and Zelda wallets and all the, you know what I mean? Like, there's a love for that IP that you could tap into with a free game that you jump in and have microtransactions in, or try to go the Mario route and give you a few levels free and then charge.
We got a Mario mobile game. We got a Pokemon mobile game, kind of.
Yeah.
With Pokemon.
We'll talk
Go.
About that
it's
next.
Like half and half.
Yeah.
We're getting Mario Kart. We got Fire Emblem. We got Animal Crossing. You look at that, and you're like, what's missing here? And it's Zelda. Like, that's the answer. And a proper Pokemon.
Sure.
Which we will get at some point, I truly believe. In their investor meeting, they talked about how much they're still supporting mobile and have plans to adapt and go into the future. We're going to get it.
I want to jump. I want to tip my toe. Tip my toe? Dip my toe, the tip of my toe, into reader mail and talk to Beautiful Joe. Beautiful Joe wrote in to kindoffunny.com / KFGD and says, happy KFGD Monday, you KFGD hosts. Over on the Nintendo Switch subreddit this past weekend, there was a fairly contentious thread discussing the apparent quote-unquote dry spell the Switch has been going through so far this year. Aside from a small handful of games, Celeste, there hasn't been much of note for Nintendo's latest console in 2018. Bayonetta and Tropical Freeze are great, but they're ports, and if you're a Nintendo diehard, you've probably already played them. Kirby seems to be geared towards much younger players, and Labo isn't exactly lighting the world on fire. Other than that, every big game in 2018 worth talking about has been on competing platforms. Monster Hunter, Far Cry, God of War, Fortnite. So what do you guys make of this past quarter for the Switch? Do you think that Nintendo might lose some goodwill if things don't change? What about people who are returning to the Nintendo ecosystem? Do you feel that there's really enough to keep them playing? Keep consensually fucking that chicken.
Hell yeah.
Beautiful Joe.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people talking about this on Reset Era and in the Nintendo Switch subreddit. It's different strokes for different folks, and there is a ton of games. I mean, even in that, you just mentioned Bayonetta 1 and 2, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. I mean, we're talking about some of the best games of last generation.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic. I'm making my way through Tropical Freeze again now. Good Lord, that's a damn good game. Talking about it more in Gamescast.
Ooh!
So there's that. It's like, yeah, are we having the killer? We haven't gotten Zelda yet. You know, we haven't got a Mario Odyssey yet.
We haven't gotten Kart.
But really, yeah, I mean,
was it Kart? I thought April.
Yeah, it was. But Kart was a port. You know, it's like I feel like that's in the same category as Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
No, one's a really great game, and one's got a monkey in it.
He's in both games. and also, do not sleep on Tropical Freeze.
Greg. I'm downloading it right now. I got Judges Week next week. I got
good.
It. I got it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You can play it on the plane.
But
with the power of Nintendo Switch.
If I can chime in for 1 second.
Please do.
I saw this maybe, and it was either, on my morning rundown of it, it was either Reset Era or it was Gaff today, but it was a similar thread that was basically like, I love my Switch, but I wish I loved the games right now. And I feel I'm in a similar boat. I wouldn't call it a dry spell. It's just a, nothing for me on the Switch is lighting it on fire. Where I have a whole bunch of games I've been getting codes for and downloading that are what I want out of my Switch, right? Which are the, hey, this is a small indie game that I want to get on and I want to try and I want to see what it's like. But nothing where I'm like, it was not like last year where it was Zelda, where it was Kart, where it was like, fuck, I need, I'm, can we stop doing the show so I can go play this thing? That's the one thing it's missing. And I think even that, that's me being a bitch. I still haven't beat Celeste and I love Celeste. I need to go back to Celeste.
I feel like there is a lot that's going on. It's just right now, it is admittedly like the lower tier B and C Nintendo stuff going on, but it's like, we know what's coming later in the year. And I feel like with what they're going to talk about at E3, like, we're getting the games in the next 2 months that they talked about at the Direct. There will be Crash Bandicoot. There will be Dark Souls. There, you know.
For me, it's we turn the corner as soon as, and I'm not joking, as soon as we get Sushi Strikers and as soon as I get Mario Tennis Aces.
Project Octopath Traveler is coming out. Now just Octopath Traveler coming out next month.
Oh, like, wow.
You're weeks away from
it. Right.
And so it's like, there's,
there you go, game.
There's a ton of games coming out that that are going to be great, but it's like, I understand that those aren't for everybody, but like, that's video games.
Oh,
right?
No, that, you nail it with Different Strokes, I think. That's what it comes down to.
And but again, going back to Tropical Freeze, replaying it, it's just like, that game is so special. There's so much love put into it, and Retro is just, they're ridiculously talented. And Andre from Game Explain, he tweeted out something that I was like, fuck, that, I really didn't think about it that way. He was just like, playing through Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze levels, you don't want them to end. Mm. Playing through New Super Mario Brothers levels, you just want to get to the end and like, get to the next thing. They're so well crafted, so well designed. The secrets make you want to explore all the different nooks and crannies. And like, all the, just the unique aesthetics that they have going on, and like, animations that are only used once, or like, just random stuff. There's just so much, the music, everything about it is just great. You should please play this damn game because it's fantastic. And yeah, people are saying that like I get if you're a hardcore Nintendo guy that has already played all these things. Yeah,
but now you got Funky Kong.
And Funky Kong makes the game awesome. Makes it a lot. If it's too hard for you, which it's going to be too hard for a lot of people, Funky Kong makes it great. I don't know. I think that there has been kind of a, compared to last year, the Switch isn't knocking it out of the park so far. I think that's going to change super soon. And once we know the... Right now, we have all the release dates for the next 2 months.
Yeah.
Once E3 comes, we're going to get the release dates for the next, for 2018. And I think that's when we're going to get really interesting stuff. Smash Brothers, potentially Pokemon. We know Yoshi's going to be there hanging out and having a good time. Fire Emblem, like, where the fuck has that been?
Sure.
It's going to be damn good.
Okay.
Mario Odyssey DLC, potentially.
Don't tease
Captain Toad's coming soon.
Oh, Treasure Tracker. All right. Everybody hold on. It'll be all right. Believe in Dry Bones in this shirt that should be large, but is marked XL. And I don't blame our friend who sent it in, Rich in Japan. I blame Reggie for Reggie just doesn't... I don't know. He's a big dude. Reggie should understand XLs and larges and double XLs, you know? Reggie, if you need me to come in and do some quality assurance on your shirts, I'll do it. Number three! Pokemon Go Fest is back! This is from the Dark Knight of News, Andrew Goldfarb at IGN.
Of course it is.
Who writes... He has like a giant interview with the guy, too. Now known as Pokemon Go Fest, a walk in the park, the event will take place on July 14th and 15th in Chicago's Lincoln Park and spans a 1.8-mile walking course this year, along with new Safari Zone events in...
That's awesome.
Dortmund, Germany on June 30th and Yokosuka, Japan. Kind of funny problem, too. Get your tickets. Kindoffunny.com/tickets. Japan later this summer. Go Fest. What is wrong with your jacket? What is happening over there?
The Velcro.
You're panicking. You're panicking about your jacket.
I fucked it up.
Go Fest is part of our new tour... Is part of a new tour of real-world gatherings for Pokemon Go in 2018. With several events under its belt since the first Go Fest, Niantic has learned from last year's problems and is hoping to use that experience to make sure this summer's festivities all go smoothly.
I can't believe they're doing it again.
More power to them!
I mean, more power to them, but at the same time, like, good lord. People are going to be looking to tear that thing apart.
And that's the big thing. Like, Goldfarb has an interview with the CEO from Niantic talking about it. And he's like, hey, I was on stage when I was the guy getting booed. So, like, this all, you know, hits close to home. And so, like, yeah, the big thing about it is moving it from Grant Park, where they had you standing around, to Lincoln Park, where they have you walking around. The idea being that, of course, then not just one drain on all the cell towers of all the stuff right there. It's also, in the interview, the guy's talking about going to, you know, the cellular providers and being like, hey, you need to understand what this is and how it works and da-da-da. So, yeah, you hope so, but yeah, to do it in the exact same place, like, number one, bold as fuck. I hope you come out and you're like, hey, I know we fucked up last year. We're going to nail it this year. Congratulations, they do. Everybody's happy. But yeah, if you come out there and there's even the slightest problem, people are going to be all over it about it being the problems.
In the end, it doesn't even matter.
Nothing. even matter.
It's a Linkin Park reference.
I know. I was trying to get there. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I've come too far to lose it all.
There you go.
But in the end,
I like the Safari Zone branding. That's really nifty and neat.
Is that some of your Pokemon nerdy stuff?
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay.
Good for them.
It is cool, Tim.
Yeah.
But Pokemon Go Fest is so far away. If I wanted to know what was happening right now in games, if I wanted to know what came to the digital mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah.
I said a kwass.
Yeah, nobody cares.
It's made me laugh.
Out today, nothing. Nothing is out today. According to that, the giant Tuesday tomorrow. Huge Tuesday tomorrow. Lots of stuff out on Tuesday.
Big Tuesday is what they call it.
Big Tuesday is what they call it. New dates for you. PlayStation Blogs reporting that Harvest Moon, Light of Hope, comes to PS4 May 29th, and Conan Exiles comes to PlayStation 4 May 8th.
Finally.
Then, deals of the day for you. GameSpot had this to say. Here's some good news for anyone who owns an Xbox One and likes to save money. Amazon is running a massive sale on digital Xbox One games between now and May 19th. It features tons of big recent games at discounts of up to 75%. So if you have some free hard drive space, take a look at these discounted titles to see if you want to add into your collection. Some of the biggest games available on sale are Assassin's Creed Origins for $36, Monster Hunter World for $45, and Star Wars Battlefront 2 for $30. Ooh. Those prices represent savings of between 25 and 60%. The new cinematic co-op game, A Way Out, is already down to $20, while the open world racer Burnout Paradise Remastered is discounted to $30. Obviously, GameSpot has a whole bunch more of those discounts up there if you want to see it, but you could just go to Amazon and find that Xbox One digital sale for yourself.
Yeah, do that.
Speaking of Amazon, waiting right now. I don't know if you remember this. At the one of the most recent Comic Cons, they announced they had, or maybe it's Toy Fair, they announced a run of Smallville Funko Pops, which of course falls right into my wheelhouse of being a Smallville super fan, loving Superman, and only
sex rings.
I do love as well.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Allison Mack. Innocent until proven guilty. But also the fact that I only buy Funko Pops that are from the House of L. So did I buy the Lex and the Lois and the... And no, I didn't. I didn't buy the Clark with the S on. The one where he's on like that. I bought the final shot from Smallville of Clark tearing open his shirt, revealing the Superman symbol. Mm. That's getting delivered today. I told Cool Greg, no matter what show we're recording, if it comes, you bring it to me. Okay. I need it right away. Mm-hmm. I need to see him with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I digress.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Why'd you say it like that?
I don't know. Didn't know what word to use. Proud. Excited.
Yeah, you're happy for me is the right one. That's the right one. Yeah, you're not proud for sure.
No.
Reader mail! It's right now, but first I need to tell you it's brought to you by patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Last week we were sponsored by patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and many of you came over and gave us a buck. Thank you. Many more of you, however, were in your car doing something, listening like, oh, I should do that, and then forgot to ever do it. So we're sponsoring again to remind you. But this time, I wrote an ad.
Oh my god, read it, Greg.
It all comes down to this. For weeks, we've been teasing a party mode that almost made Andy Cortez quit Kinda Funny. That's a true screw job perpetuated by Nick Scarpino and Greg Miller that made the Hispanic heartthrob freak out. Wednesday, you get to see it on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for $1. Rainbow Six Siege. Plus, right now, you can get early access to the video ball party mode, which Andy has one of the greatest edits of all time. When I ask him to cut out a joke, and then he shows video proof of me being an asshole to him for many months and says, no, he won't cut out the joke. Party mode, of course, goes live every Wednesday. You can get it on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for $1. That gets it for you early. Remember, it's a monthly charge, so really, you're 25 cents, you get each and every party mode early at that price. Then you can watch this record the games cast. You can get early access to other stuff. You can get fan mail. You can do all sorts of jazz. You can come on the show and get your topic on the show. There's a million ways to support us. We thank you for doing it. If you enjoy Kinda Funny Games Daily or any of the dumb stuff we do, please consider patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Justin, aka Big Weegs 007 from Kentucky, writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, this past weekend I achieved that platinum on God of War.
Congrats.
Goddamn, that blank was difficult for me. I noticed some very small details that made me love God of War even more. Case in point, on Kratos' back, his logo, he's talking about the Omega symbol, or not the Omega, yeah, the Omega symbol, right, that's on his back. Is the holder for his axe when you put it back there and put it in the hilt. It's little details like this that make the game truly amazing and make me appreciate it even more and make me grateful to play them. My question to you fine folks is this. Have you ever experienced a moment like this or found a small detail that you loved in a game before? Thanks for all you do. You make my data entry bank job more entertaining daily. Keep fucking that chicken. P.S. Batman v Superman was a good movie. Tim.
Yes.
Have you ever noticed in a game a small detail that made you love it? Like this one where he's talking about where you get the axe, you go there, you put it in your back.
There's two that come to mind, and they're the most cliche answers, but I mean, they're truly mind-blowing. Seeing Samus's reflection in Metroid Prime and Uncharted, Nathan Drake getting down the water.
Oh, yeah, water physics.
Being all drippy.
Yeah.
Those to me were like, holy crap.
For me, it's I think it counts as a little detail, but you can tell me if not. You know how much I love the game Infamous. Mm-hmm. I remember playing Infamous when I was hunting blast shards and being up on a telephone pole and kind of just leaving it there and spinning and looking at the map, doing this, comparing when I had the maps that I had drawn out, trying to find all these blast shards. And it's obviously meant to happen this way, but I think it was end game content. I'd already beaten it. I was already maxed out good guy. And it was doing all that and then hearing chatter of people being like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, and like spinning the camera. And there was a group of NPCs that had seen me and run over and were taking photos of me because I was like the hero of the city. And in like this immersive superhero game, I was like, that's fucking awesome. And of course, and when you're bad, they run from you and all this stuff. But like the running from you, obviously, is so obvious when you're playing. When you're a good guy and they're like, oh, man, that's a cool guy. Yeah, that's great. But it was this thing of like, just letting him sit there doing something else and coming back, and the world had continued to live with me there. That was always cool.
Very cool.
Also, the breath, obviously, in Metal Gear Solid. Remember that?
Yeah.
Just a box.
The watermelons.
Malcolm Irons, or my online alias Beta, writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with a question he writes in with, I'm pretty sure, each and every day. So I'm happy we actually got to it today. A lot of times it makes the sheet, Malcolm, as one day you will find. I'm saving all my sheets to one day be fan mail for Patreon. What's good, Kinda Funny homies? I have a quick question for you guys about video game genres / subgenres. Remember the very quick rise and fall of 4v1 multiplayer games like Fable Legends, Evolve, and BioWare's canceled Shadow Realms, or hero shooters like Overwatch and Battleborn? I think Overwatch has had a fall yet, but okay. Even stealth games like Splinter Cell, Metal Gear, and Dishonored. My question is simple. What the hell happened to these genres? Sure, Overwatch is still doing well, but why hasn't there been more hero shooters? I honestly thought hero shooters were going to be the next big thing, but it wasn't. When Overwatch came out and reigned supreme, did everyone else think, what's the point of releasing another hero shooter? Onward to Battle Royale, I guess. Do you guys see another genre / subgenre going away, or just having one or two games reign supreme like Overwatch with hero shooters? For sure with hero shooters, yeah, Overwatch came in and rolled everybody.
Yeah.
Where you're saying like people are like, oh man, time to move on. No, plenty of people released hero shooters. I mean, obviously Battleborn being the most obvious one. Mm-hmm. That just got crushed.
Lawbreakers and other things.
Came out and were too similar with not enough differences to make you go, oh, this is why I need to play
not
that.
Not the backing and not the, you know, the panache that they do over there.
Similar to what's happening with Fortnite in reverse, kind of, right? Mm-hmm. Where PUBG was first the market. And first the market, I know, we could argue DayZ, you could do all these different things, Arma, all these different things. First to be out the one and be like, this is the Battle Royale game, right? But then Fortnite arrives with Epic's backing and the polish and panache you're talking about.
Yeah.
That kind of just runs away with it all.
I mean, then things like Overwatch League obviously keep it way more relevant to people and bring them back in. People like Andy, who's now addicted to watching that stuff. And I feel like what we were talking about earlier with Fortnite and the kind of commitment they have there. I just feel, you know, I saw Craig Skitsmas tweeted out from Game Attack. And he was just like, everyone's talking about how like overcrowded the Battle Royale genre is. It's like there's been two games, really three, I guess, two and a half, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like it's not overcrowded. Like the other ones just need to come out and do something that like unique that people latch onto. And it's like I agree with that. But at the same time, with what Beta's saying here, I do feel like there is only like room for one or two. It's mindshare. And I think there needs to be not only a community of people playing, but a community of people watching and a community of people talking about it.
Yeah.
And all of that needs to be continued and followed up with a community of developers that want to continue supporting the game on a consistent basis, or else you get situations like Destiny where people are upset about it and, you know, kind of just fall off or keep going, but aren't super into it.
The reference I would use, and not to beat this dead horse, but this is in a negative way, is Friday the 13th. where I think Friday the 13th came out, and like Dead by Daylight had been around for a while, and people loved Dead by Daylight. It had its community, all these different things. But Friday the 13th hit, and like a lot of people, myself included, got pulled in to a game that, holy shit, I wasn't playing Dead by Daylight. This is awesome. This is amazing. And as somebody who still, you know, follows the Friday the 13th subreddit, now it is like, there was a couple days ago where people were just posting every hour, like Dead by Daylight Steam numbers, like live versus Friday the 13th. And Dead by Daylight's just trouncing it, right? Because what you're saying, it's a Dead by Daylight's this thing that's constantly supported. There's people there. And like Friday the 13th, you know, we had Ronnie on the Gamescast recently. And he's talking about the fact that they're, you know, moving engines. So that's what's taking so long. And they need to do this. Like, there's a reason they're not updating as much, or maybe being as out there with good news as much, but it is showing right here, right? And you do see the community in the subreddit for sure souring and getting angry about it, which sucks.
And I think that on a different scale, PUBG's seeing similar things, where Fortnite, because of the level of polish, it just continues moving ahead, where PUBG, I feel, is not losing steam, but it's definitely not moving forward at the rate that it was.
Oh, then it was. Yeah, totally. I remember when that was happening. We were like, wow, nothing can stop PUBG. And then like Fortnite got announced. We're like, that's cool, but that won't matter in the long run. And it's just totally been the opposite.
Yeah.
And you bring up, you know, what the quick rise and fall of 4v1 games like Evolve or whatever, right? Like, what the hell happened to that genre? Like, that genre, I mean, and granted, I know there's some games that are still doing stuff out there, but like Evolve in particular, it just wasn't as much fun for everyone to jump into, right?
I mean, Friday the 13th is one of those as well.
Yeah.
Right. It's a different take on it.
Sure,
but it is.
Sure, you're right.
I'd say it's the same genre. I just think that with the moment that you create a game that has to have very specialized roles
that I can't just jump into.
Yeah, it gets overly complicated.
That's why PUBG and Fortnite work so well. And Fortnite even has the hindrance, I'm putting in quotes, of building, right? That turns so many people off of like, I don't want to learn. I don't know how to build still. I can build basic stuff, but I watch these people on Twitch and I'm like, I don't know what you're thinking about doing right now, but you're in the middle of doing it. Whereas, yeah, like Evolve, where it was like, you need a healer, you need this, you need that. Like, that class-based system's great and it could work on a very small level of like, hey, we, you know, our investment was minimal, this, that, the other. But like Evolve was this giant project that people thought was going to take off. And when you release that to the wild, that's not how it happened.
And I think an example of that genre kind of living on in a way that makes sense is Rainbow Six Siege, where there is specialized different classes, but you kind of can choose to commit how much you want to that. And it is open enough and there is enough going on. And they consistently fixed that game and added to that game that now people love it.
Marco Hutchins writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Happy Monday, Greg and Tim. So last year, EA and Activision were two of the major third-party companies who were taking the wait-and-see approach to Switch, and it seems like they're already showing signs of supporting more. While many might hope for this leads to big franchises like Call of Duty or Madden, I say to hell with that. Give me a Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and NBA Street.
Oh, be still my heart, yes.
Do you think we'll ever see these two franchises again, on Switch or otherwise? EA and Activision have a reputation for prioritizing sales, but weren't those franchises successful and profitable? Am I alone in this? Back me up, Tim Geddes. Lastly, what games do you think EA and Activision will announce for Switch this year? Keep that chicken loving consensual. Thanks for making sorting the mail fun, Marco.
I do not think we're going to see another Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Yeah.
They destroyed that franchise with 5. It was just not even a
didn't cool even Tony Hawk talk shit about it or something?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And it fucking sucked. And now there's this whole thing of Tony Hawk being upset because he doesn't have the rights to the game. There's kind of like a war brewing.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
There's a storm coming.
He's talking a lot of shit. And he should be talking shit. That game was an insult to people.
Yeah.
Like, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD had its issues, but at least at the end of the day, it was a fairly solid game. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 was one of the worst games I've ever played.
Damn.
You can watch our review on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames where I just play through it and it's just like, it's trash.
Yeah.
NBA Street, I feel like it would have been a good time to bring that game back, but it's a little too little too late.
They put out the playground, right? That people, it was broken or something at launch.
It was broken, but then they fixed it. I mean, it's one of the top 10 selling games. It
sells really well, yeah.
On Switch, and sells very well. So it's like, I don't know if NBA Street can like kind of come in and like steal enough.
I mean,
that.
The big thing, and I don't know what's going on with it, but an NBA Jam. Because especially with the Switch being as successful as it is, local multiplayer, I think invigorating both the hardcore and mainstream audiences. Again, if you could put out an NBA Jam that was like NBA Jam,
yeah.
I think you'd have something
NBA
going.
NBA Street's so much better, though. NBA Street's fucking such suck. A fucking good. NBA Jam is fun, and it's a cool arcade game, whatever. But NBA Street Volume 2 is a fucking classic. And if they could figure out how to get that magic again, it'd be really great. And it'd be so good on Switch. So good portable. I don't think we're going to see it.
Yeah.
But EA Sports big. Ooh. EA Sports big.
Yeah. You get some more steep.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
You want to play some steep?
No, I don't want steep.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
And what games do you think EA and Activision will announce on Switch? I really have no idea.
No?
At all.
I don't either. A port?
Yeah. Crash Bandicoot.
Who's EA working with on the indie-ish level? Like, what's their Yarny this year? That'll come to Switch.
Yeah, probably. Maybe not, though. No Way Out didn't. A Way Out.
But I'm saying this year. I think this year is the different thing.
Oh, you're right.
Like, oh, we could do it.
But I mean, I don't think A Way Out would have came out on Switch anyways, just power-wise.
Yeah. Probably, but I mean, they ran
Doom. There was the other game, though, that they did that was on Switch. Faye?
Yeah.
So that was on Switch.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I don't know. But
I think in their big stuff.
Yeah, I think I have a gut feeling there's going to be a new Crash Bandicoot announced at E3, and I think it'll be on Switch as well.
Let's stick with this EA vibe and go to Sebastian from Finland. Good morning, beautiful people. I have a somewhat crazy prediction for EA's E3 press conference. Star Wars Battlefront 2 Battle Royale. There's been a lot of conversations about EA and Activision dipping into the lucrative Battle Royale market. Black Ops 4 almost certainly having a Battle Royale game mode. I am sure EA, let alone its investors, don't want to be left out. Sure, Battlefield 5 could be a choice, but personally, I don't see Battle Royale as a good fit for the vehicle, destruction-centered gameplay of Battlefield. On the other hand, Star Wars, that would create some waves. It would also be a way to resurrect a game that has left a sour taste of microtransactions in everybody's mouth. Am I crazy? What do you think? Sebastian from Finland. Sebastian, I think that's a brilliant idea.
It is brilliant. I think it's very risky for EA to do that because... with all the loot box stuff that is still a taste left in people's mouths.
Yeah.
With Battlefront 2, adding slapping on Battle Royale to that, I don't see the general populace taking well to that. I see a lot of shit talking in comments, see a lot of disliked videos. What does that mean for the game? I don't know. Will it sell a lot? Yes, it will.
But I mean, think about it this way. What if they did this, right? What if they just pulled a Fortnite? Cool. This is Star Wars Battlefront 2 Battle Royale mode. It's free to play. You can download it right here. We have the cosmetic microtransactions that we already put into this game, right? That's when they've been talking about microtransactions coming back. It's been the fact that it's going to be cosmetic. It's not going to affect this. It is right there. You can get in it. If you already own, if you paid for Star Wars Battlefront 2 anytime through now or whatever, you get X Starbucks or credits or whatever the hell. Starbucks. You get all the stuff that you can use in the game, right? Like, you'll have that as soon as you turn it on, but we're putting this out right now.
That would be freaking awesome.
Not to mention, again, like, and I know that whenever I talk about being EA, I'm not EA. I'm very much, you know, but I think EA will have to come out and have this thing of like, come out and be like, hey, I want to talk to you about Star Wars Battlefront 2. No, don't boo. And like, I get a laugh. And I'm just like, hey, we screwed up. I'm on an E3 stage. We screwed up last year. We're aware we screwed up last year. We want to make that right because we're proud and, like, you know, show all the this is Greg now making your press conference, EA. Scrap everything out. Bring up the photos of everybody at their desks, their families and stuff. Like, the people at DICE made an amazing game that, you know, we screwed up when we got involved business-wise and made some choices that we thought were right but clearly weren't right, or we didn't communicate correctly. So we want to forget that and start fresh, and that's why I'm here to talk to you about Star Wars Battlefront 2 Battle Royale mode. Free to play, cosmetic only, available tomorrow, whatever the hell it's going
to
be.
Not a chance, man. It sounds so good, and I'd love that. But I feel like a Star Wars Battle Royale is likely. I don't think it'll be free. That's too good to be true, coming from EA.
Okay.
I'd love to see it, though. Try their best.
Final question of the day. It comes from kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like all questions, and goes to Reedy, who says, with State of Decay 2 releasing this month on Game Pass, and Detroit arriving soon after that at full price, is a Netflix for games subscription due from PlayStation? Should we expect it as soon as E3? Love the way you fucked that chicken, Reedy. It's an interesting question. I would say PlayStation Now, to an extent, is their Netflix for games, right? I wouldn't be surprised, as we've said before, either I think it's time to shit or get off the pot with PlayStation Now. I think you have to come out and say, this is what PlayStation Now is. This is why you should care about it. We're all in on it. This is the cool introductory offer we're giving you of getting there for $10 a month and get all the unlimited games you want. Or just let it fade away. Because I think right now what Sony's able to do is sit there and talk about, and I'm not insulting anybody on purpose, be able to sit there and talk about, like, yeah, not maybe vocalize it, right? But it's a quality issue, right? In the way that, cool, yeah, Sea of Thieves is part of Game Pass. Cool, State of Decay 2 is going to be part of Game Pass. State of Decay let people down in terms of content. State of Decay 2, as Andrea and I talked about, is a very much, for me, Greg Miller, huge State of Decay fan, a game I can't wait to play. But is that going to appeal to the mainstream, everybody with an Xbox One? I highly doubt it. And PlayStation can sit there and maybe not vocalize it publicly, but be like, yeah, God of War, Detroit, The Last of Us, like these are these are premier experiences we expect you to pay full price for because you're paying for quality.
Yeah. I don't know. We talked about this a lot on Gamescast the last couple weeks. I feel
sorry
like
to bother you.
What?
Nothing.
No, I'm just letting people know they want to hear more. They can go listen to that. I feel like at some point it's inevitable that this is going to happen. And I think that E3 might be a little too soon.
Yeah, I think so too.
Unless they're trying to be super aggressive and like if they are trying to be like, fuck you, Microsoft. But yeah. I don't think they're in that place right now. I think that they're more like, we're not trying to talk shit. We're just trying to keep being better.
And they keep adding games to PlayStation Now. So I'm assuming they're finding success with PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
I think
the PS5, like whenever that does happen, I think that would be a good time to kind of announce this type of shit. I don't think it'll be PlayStation Now. I think PlayStation Now they're going to put to rest.
No.
I think that both Sony and Microsoft are having a big problem with their services where they're not properly, there's too much, there's too many, there's PlayStation View, PlayStation Now, PlayStation fucking this and that, PlayStation Home, and then the Game Pass, and then there's backwards compatibility and stuff. And I feel like when you look at Xbox, and once you start getting into it, and what they're starting to do now with Games Pass, it's awesome, because obviously it could totally shift the industry. But we've been talking a lot about them potentially combining that with Xbox Live. The simpler they can make it.
Yeah.
It will not be Netflix for games, until that's the one service, that's the one subscription you need for this platform, and you get the things. Because the backwards compatibility, people have been wanting SSX forever. There's all these articles now about SSX 3 backwards compatibility being fucking awesome on the Xbox One X. And I feel like we need more of that, and people need to understand what backwards compatibility is on Xbox. Until you tinker around with it, I don't think people understand how vast it is. Yeah. And then on the PlayStation side, it's just a total fucking mess.
Well, see, here's the thing is, I think it's a tale of two services in terms or service layouts, right? Where I think Xbox is doing a great job with their services. I just think that, and I'm not trying to start shit, the majority of gamers don't care that much because they care about what's new and what's hot and what's right now, mm-hmm. what the big game is. Whereas I've been saying, I think Xbox is building this awesome foundation that as soon as they say, here's all the reasons you should be playing on Xbox in terms of exclusives and things like that, it suddenly is a different argument. Whereas on PlayStation, I think it's what I'm saying here, where people just don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, if you care about PlayStation Now, awesome, it's over there, right? But everybody wants to play the new shit.
It has problems.
I know.
And I think that's
last time I used it.
The Xbox One stuff doesn't have problems. It fucking works. You download the game.
Yeah.
And not only does it work, it's enhanced for X. It's like, that is so key. And like,
they are taking care of their customers and gamers, yeah.
But I still think that there's a problem of when you're this far into the generation, explaining all that on top of things, the message gets so muddled. And that's why I feel the next round is going to be so much stronger out the gate of, hey, subscription service, it's like Netflix, you can understand, go. And people will get it and really care. And I think PlayStation, like, they're winning with exclusives, they're winning in all these senses, they're losing in terms of services. And I'm sure they know that. I'm sure they don't really care.
Yeah, they don't care right now.
And it's like,
somebody has to make them care.
They
will
care at some point. Yeah. And I'm hoping that they do, and I hope they come up with one brand to rule them all. Get rid of PlayStation Plus, get rid of PlayStation Now, whatever the fuck it's called. Come out and be like, this is what we're doing from the beginning of this PlayStation generation on, and nail it out the gate.
We shall see. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has a good time. Today, Ethan needs help on mobile. If you want to help him out, you're going to need to go to his Twitter, which is generic coyote, all one word. Generic Coyote says, afternoon, fellas. Been getting into Marvel Strike Force and would like to join a good alliance who actively participate in the raids. Low level at the minute, but wanting to get as many of those sweet, sweet Thanos shards as possible. If anyone has an alliance and needs an extra member, let me know. Thanks. On Twitter, generic coyote, all one word. He says DM me on Twitter, maybe. So hopefully his DMs are open. Otherwise, it's going to be real awkward. Tim. We ask people watching us record live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to put up with our robot voices and also go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunny and listening on podcast services around the globe. What do we screw up today?
Testiculator says, just a heads up, it's been confirmed there will be no Marvel skins that are coming to Fortnite. The source is from fortniteintel.com.
Okay, so this, I don't know if that's, okay. I want to take that as an official confirmation if it's somebody's reporting that. Okay.
No. McDude says Octopath Traveler does not release next month. It releases July 13th.
Damn it. Thanks, Tim.
So I guess next month then is Captain Toad.
It's more like that, sorry. I was too low. I was an octave low. Doodling my Superman symbol as always, guys. Don't worry about me.
That's it.
Oh, really? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, and then please head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where a buck gets you a lot and keeps the mics on for us. Tomorrow, I'll be joined by Tim Geddes. Wednesday, I'll be joined by Andrea Renee. Thursday, Jared Petty, and Friday, probably Gary Whitta. Gary Whitta likes to leave me hanging on if he's going to do stuff. You know what I mean? He's one of these Hollywood prima donnas, and I'm not a big fan of it. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.